Hello and welcome once again to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. We are Rochelle and Carter going over what we have learned in life through the Bible, through lessons, through comments, as we'll get to as well. And of course, over our favorite Christian shirt of the week.
Now today, this is one I think that even you would be comfortable wearing.
It's the word faith and then a line under it and then the word fear below it.
Faith over fear.
I think that's a good one.
Yeah. It's a really
good one. I can't. I mean, it's not cheesy, you know?
It's not cheesy. It's faith over fear.
That's what I'm saying. It's not cheesy. You get a pass this week.
I think at the root of a lot of our issues, obviously—
Our issues?
As a people.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me and you about the shirt. Okay.
I think you do have fear issues when it comes to wearing the shirts I wear.
I do.
You are afraid.
I do, yes.
Faith over fear, brother.
I'll keep on the fear on that one. There's a healthy fear. Like when you're in at the zoo and there's the lions, you would never walk into the cage, right?
There's also the fearing of God, which is, as we know, meaning respect.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And honoring and hallowing, but that's not what you're talking about. You're just a scaredy cat when it comes to this shirt.
No, not that shirt.
Well, other shirts.
Your other shirts
of like
the mosquito shirt is one. Again, we do this every week. It's just a fun thing that I cannot believe Rochelle's kept up with. If you are listening, you know, I have a friend at church, shout out to Hunter, listens to this every week, I think while he's working out, and he's like, I haven't made over to the video yet, but if you want to check out the video and to see these shirts, just text the word quiet to the number 893-893.
Hunter must be like, I'm good.
Yeah, and I'll keep listening. I'll keep listening so I don't have to see these travesties. Yes.
The description of Carter is plain enough.
Yeah.
So I wrote this. Psalm 119 is just a whopping chapter in the book of Psalms. It's huge. And I remember there was this one kid in my dad's children's church. There was a special prize for anybody who would be willing to memorize it.
Memorize Psalm 119?
And this
How many
guy
verses
did,
is it?
Okay, officially, let me get, I'm almost.
When Rochelle says huge, it's
I'm
powerful, but it's literally huge.
It's 176 verses.
Oh my goodness. And this kid did it?
This kid did it. And then my husband and I, when we taught Sunday school.
Yeah.
We put out the same challenge.
Okay.
And yes.
You had somebody do it?
A little girl named Abby, who is now a grown woman. She completely memorized Psalm 119.
Did you time when she recited? Did you time how long it took her to say it?
No.
Yeah.
I did not.
Wow. That's impressive, though.
It was incredibly impressive. And it's so cool because it's set up like, you know those meetings that you have with your boss and they're trying to be, I don't know, cool? And they do an acrostic or something, and they're like, okay, so we want everybody to be encouraged. E is for...
right, yeah.
Elephants. That doesn't work, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, edifying.
Edifying. Okay, so this is kind of like a giant acrostic, and each of the sections are after the Semitic alphabet, and they mean something. It's a symbol that means something, and I believe that like every stanza starts with that particular symbol, that letter. But in this one, it's called... God's fish hook is what that letter stands for.
Okay.
The way he'd be able to get you. But the first part of this particular section, that's the part that I wrote about because it caught me right away. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. And that's just, I mean, we all have some gauge as to what we think is right and what we think is wrong. And I wrote down, you're correct. God.
Yeah.
So if anything is in opposition to that, if anything is directly opposing or not corroborating what he says,
sure,
it is incorrect.
Yeah.
And so that's like, okay, well, that's a lot of stuff in my life that I need to maybe double check and wait, is this in alignment? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And so I wrote this down because maybe you have been on social media lately and you'll put something that is true to what your faith is about in Jesus, and you're going to face some heat for it.
You can.
You can, especially if it's a controversial type subject.
Oh, yeah.
And for that very reason, I kind of stay away from Facebook because I'll just read it to you. The comments section is foreboding. Not for everybody, but for me it is. Mm-hmm. It's foreboding. And if a post is made and comments can be shared, then it is inevitable somebody is going to say something less than positive. They just are.
Right.
And it might not even be about what you wrote. Maybe you're doing a video and they're like, can you believe their hair or something about
sure,
you or whatever.
Sure.
It can be so cruel. And I said, if I'm not careful, I can let it ruin my day
mm-hmm.
if I read that stuff. And I am a people pleaser, and I'm going to be real forthright and transparent right now. If I don't know you, I still want you to like me, to understand me, and to praise me. Mm. Admitting these things, though, is not enough. Not enough. In fact, I need to do some spiritual work. I need to get at the root of that pride. I need to dig it up, but I don't want to discard the evidence. Because usually it's like, oh, we're going to root it up and we're going to throw it away. No, no, no. Because here's the thing. If this is a struggle in your life, it could be a repeat offense. And I want to make sure that I've got it there, almost like an Ebenezer. An Ebenezer is a point that we remember for the positive and the good things. So this would be like, remember, you kind of have a tendency towards this. So before making this comment or posting whatever I'm about to post, Rochelle, do the work that you need to do. Mm. In order so that it won't offend you, and then potentially you might offend others because you're defensive or whatever it is that sure. you know, might be the struggle. But it is not I that who deserves the praise. And that's really the issue for me. I think if I get down to the nitty gritty, I need to let God have the praise. And if God is completely okay with not having to have the praise from the people in the comments section because he's God, and if you choose me, fantastic. Mm. I lay the groundwork with my son's death so that we could be in a relationship.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But at the same time, his expectations of people, he made us. So he does not like lay his entire life on what other people think.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If he reads the comments that people make about him in the comment section, and I know that he does, he is not undone. It does not ruin his day.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows what, I mean, obviously he has the ability that we don't of where they're coming from.
Right.
You know, what heart they have at the time. But I think that's true. You know, what I hear you saying is you want to take on that truth.
Yeah.
That you, whether it be doctrine, for example, you know, if somebody's saying something false, mm-hmm. or even if I say something false and somebody calls me on it, God is the one that's right.
Right.
So I need to have that humility.
I have to do that.
But also my image, right?
Yeah.
Of if God is saying, you know, I'm cherished, I'm loved, and then somebody harsh comes along and says, no, you look this way or you are that way, I have to listen to the truth of God, not this person.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the last statement of what I wrote. If I post your word and others condemn, then I have chosen you over me. Mm. And that's where it's got to be.
Yeah.
We need to choose his path over us. And it's not about, hey, we wanted to zing it to him. I saw this stand-up comedian the other day with my folks. They really like, what is it, Drybar? They like Drybar because it's pretty much pretty clean.
Yeah, I've seen that.
They're based in Utah or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were watching this comedian, and he said, I got online the other day, and I saw some stuff in the comment section, and I thought, huh. I'm gonna get all these people. And he did it with scripture.
Okay.
And there's part of you that's like, huh, that was pretty clever the way he did things. But then when I started to think about it, I was like, he's in the wrong spirit of how he's sharing. Because he kept going on and on about, you know, they're the ones, you know, and that. So there, you know, and it's like, wait a second.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think the word of God was meant to be a so there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The word of God was to be instructional, to help people grow and learn. And to check,
yeah.
Is this in accordance with, you know, what I believe to be what God has said?
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's room
for conviction is from the Holy Spirit as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway,
well, there's room for disagreement, certainly on certain issues. I'm talking, there's, of course we have the freedom to disagree with anything and everything in this world.
Sure.
But in terms of Christian orthodoxy, I'll say.
Okay.
So that's the word of like what would generally be Christian, and how I've heard it put. A good example is there's the river and there's the banks, and in the river is Christian orthodoxy. So that's kind of where we can all lock arms. Jesus is the one true way. Mm-hmm. You know, God and the Trinity and all of these things. And then when you start to get outside of the actual waters, there can be certain things that look and sound Christian, mm-hmm. but aren't. And so there would be, what I'm saying is there'd be a lot of room for, on the minor issues, disagreements within that river.
Like cleanliness is next to godliness?
Well,
is a phrase that you might hear brought up a lot, or even on a sign, like embroidered in a pillow, and you're like, oh, that's a lovely scripture. And then you come to find out, it's not a scripture.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I mean, it's good to take care of yourself, and we can derive that maybe from your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it's like, am I assessing what you're saying correctly? It's like,
I wasn't going there. Oh, okay. I was more going, because that would be, maybe on the banks, but what I'm saying about in the waters, there might be things like speaking in tongues, or things that, we can agree to disagree. Uh-huh. Right. And so there is room for, we were talking about in the comment section, we had a little, quite the comment section here the last couple of weeks.
Which we've encouraged.
Yes.
Yes.
And it wasn't actually, if you're watching this on YouTube, it wasn't on the YouTube channel. It was more in another social media. There's a clip of our podcast when we were talking about Halloween. And more so the important thing, what we were talking about in general, was Romans 14. Mm-hmm. And so here's this openness where we can agree to disagree on certain things.
Yes.
Which is ironic because that's actually what Romans 14 is. Yeah. You know, agree to disagree on certain things. And but it led me to a very interesting question that I don't know the answer of. So what we were discussing is that Romans 14 is the new Christians, the new church, that some of them, I think, had come out of paganism, and they were really bothered by the fact that other Christians were buying meat in the marketplace that was blessed to pagan gods.
And they knew where that meat came from, and so—
Really bothered them.
Yeah.
And basically, Paul steps in and says, if it's your conviction to not eat that, then don't. It's a sin if you do, if it's against your conviction.
Right.
And if you're not convicted by it, then eat it. It's just meat. It basically says whatever your conviction is. Well, somebody pointed out on this quite the array of comments that we had that did not care for— how I categorized that was the main one talking in the clip, how I categorized this when I said about Halloween of, if you're convicted about it, don't do it. If you're not convicted about it, you know, a simple costume like my son went as a firefighter and candy, then, you know, whatever. But he said something that was so true. And he said, I want to comment on the last part of that, the chapter that you didn't get to, that we should forego, in this case, eating the meat to serve our, to not make our brother stumble.
Yeah.
Which is true. We should be willing to drop anything and everything that God convicts me of, or if I'm with I should be, my servant attitude to my fellow Christian should be above anything else.
Absolutely.
I should, the common sense one that everybody would agree with, you would never have a glass of wine in front of an alcoholic to tempt them.
Absolutely.
Right? But where is the line on servanthood to legalism?
Are you asking me?
Well, I mean, let me clarify, and then I am asking you.
Sure.
So you would do this with a person that you're close with. You would, whatever it might be, you would forego in their presence. Mm-hmm. You would maybe even if you lived, like it's a Ray Romano situation and they didn't care, I don't know, Christmas decorations.
Okay.
Let's say they didn't care for Christmas decorations. You may forego decorating the outside of your house or your whole home for Christmas to serve them. Hmm. It's kind of a silly one, but if they're living right across the street, maybe you forego that. But at what point do we read one comment online that somebody somewhere feels a certain way and then you change your behavior on that issue because of it? Mm-hmm. Because anybody can say, we had the conversation in regards to music a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
If somebody says, I think the band Skillet, which is an awesome Christian band, I think they sound evil, so Christians shouldn't listen to it. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I won't listen to Skillet in front of you. I'm going to go listen to Skillet, though.
Yeah.
Just because somebody has, as I think it's just, and maybe you have a good answer. I don't know if there is a full answer of, I think it's going to be situation by situation. I want to serve the people, and then at a point, no, you're being legalistic, and I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about that?
There's a lot of stuff I think about that.
Yeah.
First of all, we had Skillet's front guy on our show.
He's great.
And Cooper, right?
John Cooper, yeah.
It was a couple of years ago, and I remember not knowing a whole lot about Skillet. My brother is obsessed. He loves their music.
Yeah.
And he was sound.
Yeah.
Biblically.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah.
Super great guy. And so kind of always, if it sounds, I've heard the saying, if it sounds like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, maybe it's a duck kind of thing. No, I think sometimes we need to put down what we think a duck might look like.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're surprised that it could be a goose. This analogy needs to stop right now, but it may sound like that kind of music that maybe you came out of and you no longer participate with that heavy rock sound. Mm-hmm. Go to the lyrics, go to the heart of the people who are singing it.
Yeah.
Are they sound people? And if you can assess the answer is yes, then we don't have a duck, you know?
Yeah.
So it is a heart issue. We are blessed in if we don't have a leadership position like a pastor or a business owner of a large corporation that has to set rules, blanket rules for everybody to follow. We're blessed in being, as individuals, being able to go on an individual basis with it. The people around us. But if you're a pastor of a church and you're thinking, how do I handle a subject like October 31st without causing offense? My mother-in-law, actually, she's a great example of this. She did like to decorate with pumpkins and things like that. And then when my brother-in-law got married, my sister-in-law really struggled with that date, did not want Halloween to be a part of the family. And my mother-in-law did not bat an eye. She gave up all the decorations.
That is amazing.
Because she wanted to honor her daughter-in-law. That's a servant heart. At the same time, you and I were discussing this the other day. I thought you had a great comment, and I'm going to use it over and over again because I know it's difficult to decipher.
I want to say something about your mother-in-law, though.
Oh, okay.
How easy it is. And I've heard it, and I've done it. Well, if she doesn't like it, she doesn't have to go in that room.
That's right.
If she doesn't like it, she doesn't have to come over.
This is my house. Who are they to say?
That is an amazing Christ-honoring concept to forgo something that you love just to serve somebody else.
And she decorates every season. Like she's the lady who for Easter has the Easter plates, for Christmas has the Christmas plates, Thanksgiving the turkey plate. She's that person.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, she gave up all of that stuff.
But I think you were getting to the unity, is that right?
So no, there's this – well, yes, it'll lead to that part. So I think when it comes to this particular date in time, which honestly, if we're going to deconstruct Halloween, we should deconstruct Christmas and Easter as well.
Sure.
We know what those two dates, Christmas and Easter, stand for in Christian tradition.
Yep.
And I will absolutely defend, you know, from here to there, observing those things in our calendar. On the days that have been allotted. Now, was Jesus born on the 25th? More than likely, no.
Yeah.
But we've chosen that date. It was around the time of a pagan holiday. And honestly, if we go back to the traditional things, there could be an argument made for or against any of the times that we celebrate all year long. So then we start walking on eggshells.
Sure.
And where is the freedom that I've been promised within the Spirit of Christ? Because we're holding each other accountable to these prisons.
Mm.
And because this is not stuff that is specifically discussed per se. Now, you may be of the mind that it is. You're like, well, it tells us to stay away from witchcraft and wizardry. And I know that Halloween, that can be incorporated. So I absolutely understand. But speaking of witchcraft and wizardry, there is a name in the Harry Potter book series. Voldemort is the name of the bad guy. And these kids, nobody says the name Voldemort. Because he who must not be named, nobody says it, and they're scared when they say it. And I have felt this apprehension about us saying the name Halloween for some reason, because, yes, it does have connections to actually many things.
Yeah.
I think your buddy Mike Winger put it, it's like this melting pot of many traditions over the years, and it kind of has lost its meaning over the years, because your boy dressed up like a firefighter and got candy, and that's not necessarily what it was purposed for hundreds of years ago in other traditions.
Mm-hmm.
We would have to deconstruct all of these things, if not because we don't want to be hypocritical.
Sure.
So if that's the case, if you're one of those that says, I feel undone by this date and have been one of those people to comment and say, I can't understand why Christians would do this. It's one of those things that we can maybe unpack together. We have done that with Christmas. We've done that with Easter. We've talked a little bit about some of the traditions that go back and have been issue. People have taken issue with that as well. There are many things that can cast shadows. And some of those we need to forego. But some of them, I think, are people making shadow puppets on the wall by our own ideologies. And we have connected things to them that are not there, because there are innocent children that go out at night with innocent parents who love Jesus with their whole hearts, and they look at it as a ministry opportunity, as their daughter is dressed like a princess and their son is dressed like a firefighter and candy is involved. And we're condemning one another over something that I believe Paul was trying to address. This one thing about meat, I think, is meant to address the many things. And as far as when do we know where that line is, because we have the privilege, because we have the honor of housing the Holy Spirit inside of us and having his word at our fingertips, he is going to show us when we continue to pray, show me, search my heart and know me, first of all. I want to make sure that my heart is pure before you. Show me, Lord, what your word means for myself, for my family. Holy Spirit, I have this relative that clearly, you know, there's a struggle here. What do you say? It may not be to take away all the decorations. Maybe it's like, can we go to your house instead then?
Yeah.
Something like that, whatever the conviction might become. But if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, I think we're going to get better along. But we need to stop being, and I know where it comes from, the concern, I think, is authentic. Mm-hmm. It's like, are you leading other people astray? But I think we're also allowing the concern to become condemnation.
Well, that's what I love what Paul says in Romans 14, 12, and 13. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Mm. And he goes on to say, decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. So it's, you know, it's both. We don't want to condemn each other for the actions we take on whatever the issue is.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's, you know, Galatians 6, 1 says to gently correct a brother and sister if they're in sin.
Yes.
And so we do need to know biblically what sin is. But in terms of some of these, you know, issues in the gray areas, and I know that's kind of been the topic of the last couple of weeks, but I think when it comes to unity, you know, I was telling you this, I think there is a topic for each of us that, because we could sit here and go, man, people won't celebrate Easter or Christmas because of the pagan traditions. Man, can you believe people do that? Man, can you believe people get mad about Skillet when Skillet's such an awesome man? I think if we start going down the gamut of the controversial topics in life, and I hope this is going to be non-controversial, because I'm going to name as many as I can so that I just think we're all in this. It's, you know, somebody says one thing that you kind of find, man, I can't believe people get up in arms about that. But let's go down the list. Mm-hmm. Politics. And maybe using the name Trump or Biden, race, gender, special needs. You start going down the list of the things that you have either a very strong opinion on or lived experience.
Middle East, right now the circumstances.
Middle East, Israel, Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
You start naming these very important subjects.
Yeah.
And I just feel like if we had a room full of 100 people and I named a few of the, let's say, quote, sillier ones up front, you'd have most of the room laughing. And then as soon as you start naming these, we would all kind of firm up and go, well, no, that one's different.
Yeah, it's solemn. Yeah.
And I have to recognize that I think there's something in life for me and for all of us, I think, at least that we'd have trouble seeing nuance on, because there are certain subjects in my life, it's just black and white for me. And if it's a scriptural, it should be black and white. But I love what we heard. Actually, it was at our staff retreat. A speaker shared, we don't have to agree. This is for the body of Christ. We don't have to agree on every single issue to still have unity. And it's so important. That is what your mother-in-law did.
Yeah.
She had unity with her daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. Even though she doesn't necessarily agree on that topic.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And my thing this week that I was stunned with ties into this. It's rather quick, but I think it's so profound that when I start to think that I know everything about a subject or many subjects, especially if, you know, for me, the temptation is I start to hear a lot of the pastors saying the same thing. There's not many fresh takes anymore. I grew up in church, so I just feel like I've heard a lot of it. And it blew my mind when somebody pointed out that, of course, Jesus as a man, Jesus as a God, Jesus now absolutely knows everything, and he knew everything before he chose to give up his divine rights, as Philippians says, and come to this earth. And this one, I had never, I don't know if I've even heard it or thought about it, but it goes to show that Jesus didn't even know everything while on this earth. And you're going to go, what? Excuse me? I'm going to give you two. I'm going to make this case biblically. One is, of course, growing up as a child, Luke 2, I think it's 252, somewhere in there. He grew in stature and knowledge. Okay, so Jesus becomes a baby.
He had to learn to walk.
He had to learn things.
And he had to learn the Semitic alphabet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, that's kind of the, okay, sure. But Jesus still knew everything. Get a load of this. Hebrews 5:8. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Mm. And I'm sitting here going, somebody made this point that I was stunned with at first. Jesus didn't even know everything while on this earth. Of course, I want to categorize, make sure, big disclaimer, he's God.
Yes.
He knows everything now, and he did before, again, right. Like I said. But Jesus didn't know everything? Who am I? Who am I to sit here and on any one of those subjects I named or anything else in life that pops up think, yeah, you know, I'm pretty good on that topic. I pretty well know my way around it. I'm good. Instead of just having these open hands and this open heart to go, I need humility in every topic in life. Mm-hmm. So yes. I just think that all ties in with the things we disagree on, that we can have unity if we have humility.
That's really good. Humility is so key, isn't it? I mean, if we're not humble about stuff, how are we supposed to, first of all, imitate God at all?
Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus showed us was in his last things that he did on the earth was to serve his disciples, to serve us by dying on the cross.
Yeah.
And it's so easy. It is a pride issue with all of us. It's easy for me to, once I filled up with knowledge, even about something as amazing as the Lord,
sure.
to then go out with a hammer and want to bonk people over the head with it, you don't understand what you're saying, you know?
Sure.
And if I take on the spirit of humility, so like, let's say a pastor at your church has really gotten raked over the coals because he has made a decision, a blanket decision for the congregation to do a festival or something that may not be in accordance with something that you're comfortable with. And it's one of those things that this actually happened. My parents, there was this band that was brought in to the church. And at the time, my parents were like, what is happening? Like this, we're talking about.
They sounded like that Skillet, didn't they?
Well, they sounded way more intense than Skillet, I think. But at the time, it was like, they looked like a hair band. They were, It was like mid 80s. They were called Res Band. And there was a smoke machine and there were lights. And there was like, you could feel the bass back in the nursery. Okay. And so my parents were like, you are not allowed to go out and see this. They gave strict orders to my brother. Well, my brother snuck out.
Oh.
And he watched it, and he was completely enthralled with a sound that had enthralled the generation.
Yeah, right.
But it was for Jesus. Res meaning resurrection, Res Band. Mm-hmm. And my parents really struggle with that. They will tell you this is a happy struggle because now they have come to this place of, even though they're not going to listen to the songs, they appreciated something that their son found in the midst of confusion, like for them. He found Jesus, a closer relationship with Jesus through songs that they would have never suspected.
Yeah.
And it was the 80-year-old couple, brother and sister Nash, that invited this band into our church.
Wow.
Because they had the foresight.
Yeah.
And I think that tells all of us, we need to give ourselves time to adjust with people.
Yeah.
We are very impatient. They lived 80 years and then some on this planet. And they saw something that my parents at the time, who were younger, in their 30s, getting into 40s, did not see. And I think that's really important to hear in this moment. Mm-hmm. I have a dear friend right now. I just realized that she is for a positioning that I feel is not okay and in alignment with Scripture. I am not going to rake her over the coals. I'm going to pray for her because I do believe this woman knows Jesus. And if somebody has said yes to Jesus, there is a Holy Spirit opportunity there. that I can maybe even encourage through my prayer life mm-hmm. for her to grow closer. And the more that I pray for her getting closer, the more I open myself up to God's own teaching for my life too.
Sure.
So yes, there is the scripture that Jesus is telling. Yes, you can go to your brother, making sure that you have the thing out of your own eye before you do so.
Yeah,
we kind of skip over that part a little easier, or maybe we think we got all the bases covered. There may be more specks than just one. there may be more trees in our eyeballs and planks than just the one.
Right.
So it tells me that this couple had come to a place in their maturity and spirituality and growth that they saw something that young whippersnappers were still working on.
Mm-hmm.
And to this, to what your point was, like looking back on it, it's kind of silly. To my parents, it was very, I remember the conversations. They were very concerned.
Right, right.
And so. Yeah.
Well, it's so, culture's so weird because one is just because a grandma it thinks something's good. You see, you know, grandmas are innocent, right? I mean, you know, just culturally. Just because a grandma is at a Snoop Dogg concert and profanely, you know, singing along with the lyrics doesn't make it right.
No. That does not, just because you're old doesn't mean you're wise.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. But also there's this just weird, like, I think of the movie Grease. I think so many people, you're going to pop the collar. Oh, no. What have we done? I want to apologize for this. This is turning into Romans 14 real quick. I don't approve. I'm convicted. Something like Grease is a perfect example where when something comes out, there's a certain generation that is really against it, potentially. And I don't even remember if many people were at the time or not. But I do know that the generation that is for it, it generally is younger, and then as time goes on, is desensitized. And I've heard that about Grease is, you know, it's like, oh, they showed Grease. At least when I was a kid, they showed Grease at school today. And then the parents, their teachers, you know, were like, I forgot how bad this is.
Right.
Because I don't know. It's
very sexual.
Yes. But it's time. It's just, you know, it can be so intense. And then in 30 years, it's really, you know, we look back like Res Band, or it's really not that big of a deal. But I think that's where nuance has to come in. I think for Brother and Sister Nash, it did, is this is a style of music that is not discussed in scripture at all.
It is a catalyst for the Holy Spirit.
That's it. And so that's where, in any of those topics, we can so, just because it sounds this way or looks this way or this person, you know, we talk about politics.
Yes.
Well, that person said it, they're automatically wrong every time.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if a politician quoted a Bible verse, is that wrong? You know, I just have to have nuance and patience on everything.
We do. And because Jesus did.
Yep.
I mean, he could have immediately called out all the people that he went and decided to eat dinner with. He could have called out Zacchaeus before he called out Zacchaeus.
Uh-huh.
So Zacchaeus is the guy who's super short.
The wee little man, yes.
Vertically challenged, and he climbs a tree, and he's the bad guy. He's the tax collector. He's the guy who's been taking extra on the side and pocketing it for himself, and he's done this against his own people. You're supposed to be on our side.
Mm-hmm.
So the least favored people in the community, maybe even more so than the prostitutes
the Romans,
yeah. But you know, other people that would be so low on their totem pole.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. It'd be like touching a leprous person, you know, it's like, and that's the person that Jesus said, I'm going to your house. I'm not just talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going inside your house.
Yeah.
Which I have a feeling would have been a giant no-no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It had to have been, right?
Because that just goes against protocol. They're not in... They have not been welcomed into gatherings with synagogue, you know, like you're not welcome. So why would I go into the den mm-hmm. of iniquity, basically? And so he did, though, and he didn't just go inside and run back out. Mm-hmm. Like he ate.
Yeah.
And they fellowshipped. And I'm pretty sure they had a good conversation before Zacchaeus got called out in his heart.
Yeah.
And I understand, again, the concern, because I have it myself with my friends and loved ones, where I feel they may be going astray here,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen. And you feel emboldened to say stuff. Hesitate. hesitate and make sure that that's the right time to say anything, if at all.
Yeah, slow to speak.
Have I prayed about this matter first? Have I just seen it and done the knee-jerk response, which you know, Carter, you know me really well. My knee-jerk is a constant
it's
for me.
It's very impressive. I've seen it hit the ceiling.
Oh, my
honestly.
Word. Immediately calling, nope, this can't happen. You know, yeah. I don't even give it a second. I need to give it a second.
Hmm. Well, I love theologically, but mm-hmm. also practically for us as humans, that Zacchaeus actually didn't do anything before his heart was changed, right? So I have to see how the verse was said. Where is
we
Zacchaeus
just
at?
Randomly yeah, brought this I know. Up. Which gospel account? Well, I'll do it while you
yeah,
talk.
Do that. Well, because this is what we see at the end is that Zacchaeus' heart is changed. Mm-hmm. No, I know what it is. You don't have to look it up. Granted, look it up for reference so we can give the verses. But Jesus says salvation has come to this home today. Mm-hmm. Jesus says that.
Yeah.
You know, he does say that after Zacchaeus says, I'm going to repay the things that I've stolen.
Yes.
But when you think about it, Zacchaeus on paper hasn't done anything yet. He's still this. He walks out of that home. He's still a thief, right? And the culture, society hasn't seen him as a changed person because they haven't got their money back yet. And I love that Jesus says salvation has come to this home because it's about that changed heart, even though Zacchaeus hasn't tangibly given anything back yet. And so theologically, it's a changed heart. But practically for us, I have to see that a difference can be made in somebody's heart, even if society isn't seeing them in the best light yet, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That I can just be there. Mm-hmm. I can be like Jesus did. I can be at their home. I can share a meal with them. I don't engage. You know, we talk about the boundaries.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
engage in the things just because I want to help somebody that's maybe addicted to drugs. I'm not going to go to a party where they're doing drugs,
right?
Right. I would not plan on that, at least. But I can go to lunch with them, encourage them,
yes.
continue. And then when society sees me, you're eating lunch with that guy? Yes. Because either his heart's going to get changed, I hope, God willing, or it is, but you just haven't seen the tangible change yet.
It's so good what you're saying. So yes, it's in Luke. It's chapter 19. And the exact verse you're talking about is chapter 9. Today, salvation has come to this house. And it says, because this man too is a son of Abraham. He's one of my kids. Mm. And then it says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So what am I doing to seek? My husband and I got into this conversation the other day. Because we live in a day of social media and people with cameras, very, I might say, acute cameras. Like, they're so good. Like, if you ever go back and look at the photographs you took with actual cameras mm-hmm. in the 80s or 90s or whatever, it's like, how did anybody see anything? The graininess of that.
Yeah.
So no really need for a telescopic lens. I just go and pull out my phone and can do the thing. The reason yeah. why I'm bringing that up, what if Carter is now seen eating lunch with a person who just by appearance you can tell is not in alignment? And when I say that, I mean like you could just tell. Maybe it's a shirt that he or she is wearing mm-hmm. and it's defaming or whatever it is. Somebody takes your photo and they post it online. Maybe our brother needs prayer.
Yeah.
And this is where
yeah.
this is where it can get frustrating, maybe even a little tricky. Maybe you're even one of those people that's like, I don't care because God uh-huh. sent me. If they want to have this conversation, they can come and talk to me.
Yeah.
In your case, you are a, quote, public figure.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's one of those where I guess you just have to kind of put it in God's hands and say, all right, because
yeah.
I'd rather maybe invite them to your house. But then again, it's like, make sure there's a third witness or I don't know. It can be tricky.
Well,
so you do have to like proceed with caution. But I 100% am in agreement with you
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because that's the part of the seeking. And Jesus yeah. didn't care what other people thought, but he also knew timing. He had strategy. He strategized yeah. for 3 years.
Right, right.
Nothing was happenstance with him, right?
No.
So it's one of those that I'd have to go, all right, Holy Spirit, you got to work this one out because I don't know what to do.
I know, because that sounds like, you know, somebody posting on social media, can you believe so-and-so was having lunch with this kind of guy?
And then it goes viral. Oh, Carter is in a world of sin.
And then it's like, well, that's what the Pharisees were doing to Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, and it has to do with these man-made traditions that they wanted people to make sure to follow. And Jesus was all about the law of God.
Yeah.
Not so much about the man-made stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
And so just these cultural faux pas and how I deal with it, how any of us deal with it, it is a hard, nuanced battle of what's wisdom here? Do I really want to just, you know, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago of should I, because this church is all suit and tie and I think I need to ruffle some feathers, show up with flip-flops and shorts on? No.
No.
No. Even if you think that's this man-made tradition and you should come as you are or whatever, no. But for the kingdom, though, eating lunch with a person that I'm sharing the gospel with and somebody else judging me, because who cares at that point?
We should not. We don't want to this verse is brought up a lot, even the appearance of evil we are to avoid. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about that, because that is another verse that does get threatened, and it's not to be tossed aside. It's in scripture for a reason.
Well,
so how to apply it wisely. He's smiling. He's so excited. Okay, hang on. And then also, you made me think about Jesus and the difference between man-made law versus God-made law. He also was clear in having, when he sent the disciples out, he sent them two by two.
Mm-hmm.
And so having another person at the table, if possible, just having that extra person, there might be some merit in that, not even necessarily for the sake of that ignoramus who posted the picture and was meaning to be a poop in the first place online.
Man!
But there are people in the comment section who genuinely, they love you, they see you, and now they're distraught.
Mm-hmm.
But now they can maybe go to you and that other person or whatever. I don't know, to have some people around you, because Jesus did. He had a group of people with him to teach, to learn from. And, you know, at the end of the day, he did not. He was by himself on that cross. So there's a lot of different, I know it's like it's kind of an ambiguous place to leave that. Please share what you were going to say.
Well, I'm not going to look up every version, but I'll say what I believe from this study that I saw a couple of months ago. It was Mike Winger with the Bible Thinker podcast. He corrected himself. If I remember it correctly,
humility.
There it humility. Is. And this will actually tie into legalism, like we were talking about earlier. I believe, from what I remember, and this is on the spot, so I'll have to go back and look, that the only version that says the appearance of evil is King James.
Okay.
And the rest say something like this. This is NLT, New Living Translation. This again, for that verse, by the way, you've heard that verse, but it's 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And it says something like this, stay away from every kind of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, beforehand, it's listing some of these things, you know, lazy, and I'd have to go back and read the rest of it, but stay away from every kind of evil, every form of evils maybe you've heard.
Doesn't mean you have to stay away in terms of like that lunch you were talking about.
Yeah.
Not engaging in the activity.
Yes,
and
yes.
being cautious, just like I've heard from cops. I actually had a really good friend back in New York, and he was a former cop. He would always have to park himself when he was at a restaurant facing the door.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. So he was kind of always on guard.
Yeah, sure.
Just in case. So he could, you know, I don't know, scan the perimeter and look at the people at the tables. And
yeah.
It was just fascinating to me, but I think we are to be that way.
That's good. Be on guard for every form of evil.
Yeah.
And now there are, the Bible is inherently true, but that doesn't mean that our translations are always the best translation. That's why there's different translations. Scholars are really trying to get the best possible thing. But I know in one, the NIV, it says in the Old Testament, people accuse the Bible of approving of abortion because there's this one part in, I believe it's Numbers 5 maybe, where it talks about the test of a faithful woman, and the NIV chooses to use the term miscarry. So she takes this test because she's been unfaithful, and then her womb will miscarry. Mm-hmm. And people will point to that and go, see, the Bible's pro-choice. Mm. And every other translation is not about that. She might be harmed, but there's nothing about a baby in there. So the what Mike Winger was going over is that the King James uses the appearance of evil, mm-hmm. and it's the only one. And if we decide to go with that, me buying a comic book at a store, yes. I'd have to second guess myself. Could this be because people think comics? I better put it back down.
There's the eggshells.
We can't go to the eggshells.
No, we can't do that.
And so I like these, when you get into mm-hmm. every other translation, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, every other translation, form or kind of evil in terms of actual sin, being on guard of every sin that we actually want to stay away from.
I think God gets a kick out of us. I mean, our time is up, but I think God gets a kick out of us kids, and not specifically Carter and myself, but just us trying to know him more.
Yeah.
And I think if that is your main heart's concern.
Sure.
That's what carries him. I don't know where God goes. Like when I think about a good feeling, it's like, oh, it's like better than heaven-ish feelings or whatever. It's like, I don't know. He is nothing. There is nothing better than him. So, mm-hmm. but I know that it pleases him that we are trying to seek him, that we are trying to understand as much as we can.
Yeah.
And,
And being humble in it or trying
and being
to.
Humble because I thought that about you by all my life, Lord. And then come to find out, maybe that's not a thing.
Yeah. You know? I know.
And that's really okay. It doesn't take away from who you are.
Yeah.
Actually, it might add a little something. Mm-hmm. If it adds more freedom to you and not a freedom to sin, don't get me wrong, but a freedom of like something just fell off your shoulders, mm-hmm. then it's probably in line with God. If it's a prison and it's an icky feeling, if it's like a scared feeling.
Oh, faith over fear. Did we come full circle?
Then.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe it's not him.
But it does need to go to a place that it's me trusting him, me not knowing everything, me not saving myself, mm-hmm. me not being an expert and condemning people, but help guiding, of course, but truly just following him and realizing he's it, not me.
Because after all, the thief on the cross didn't know it as a single one of the verses that you and I read.
Still there, right? Thank you. This has been great. This is the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. You can always, if you choose to listen to it in the car, you're like, I can't always watch it on YouTube. I want to listen to it. Text the word quiet to the number 893-893. You'll get the Apple and the Spotify. If you're already there and you want to watch it, text the word quiet to the number 893-893.